Committee for February 22nd, 2007. And I will open a hearing on SB 5514, Geology and Mineral Industries. And as soon as we get a quorum, I'll convert it to a work session.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to start by noting that you have at your place a letter from State Representative Boone recommending that that the committee support funding for the LIDAR project. And I'll note that you have a copy of that at your place. And what I'd like to start to work with is the memo from LFO dated February 22, 2007 for Senate Bill 5514, Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. Work session recommendations, and I'll start with A, adjustments to governor's recommended budget. And I direct your attention to the Orbitz work session report that I'm sure you've seen at least once now. And what I'll start with is page 3 of 8 is where we start in with the first program unit, and this is for a geologic survey. You'll see here package 103, the LIDAR data collection and maintenance package. This is a package you heard described during the hearings. It was included in the governor's recommended budget that would do the LIDAR mapping for 10,000 square miles of Western Oregon and would fund it using COPs. LFO is recommending removing the funding for the LIDAR package at this point. The proposal would be included on a potential add-back list for consideration at a later date. And I've contacted the co-chairs and made sure that this project indeed is on the list for consideration at a later time. And so that would be package 103. LFO is recommending denial of the package at this point. And that's the only adjustment for geologic survey or program one. I'd move on then to page 5 of 6, when we get into the mine land reclamation program. And there's a couple LFO packages in this program unit. Package 807 is a federal funds limitation adjustment. Historically, if you look at the, for example, if you look at the you'll see that the federal funds are adjusted here. This program rarely has federal funds anymore in it. At one time, they got some federal funds for cleanup of sites and brownfields, but that no longer has been. They haven't been receiving that for a couple of biennium. So LFO is recommending removing the federal funds from this program unit. And to accomplish that, we need to fund shift some personal services that have been budgeted on federal funds. Even though there was no money to support them, they've been paid with other funds, but they've been budgeted at federal funds. So LFO is recommending those be transferred to other funds, and to ensure that there's no increase in total limitation, we make a like reduction in other funds S&S so that there's a net zero change to the total other funds. And you'll see the reduction in federal funds is from the $136,158 dollars of personal services, and then the $167,000 of services and supplies. And that would shift the three positions and parts of those positions onto other funds. Package 808 are some technical adjustments. This package adds back an NRS 3 Natural Resource Specialist 3 position that was established in 0507 in this program as limited duration because of the fee changes we discussed during the hearing. There was some concern about the stability of the funding source, so it's created as a limited duration position. Unfortunately, the department didn't ask for that to be continued to the next biennium, 0709, so it never got included in the GRB. There is funding for the position. The position is needed by the program. And so LFO is recommending adding back that position as a permanent position. And you'll see the charge is $111,074 of other funds, and it adds one position and one FTE. And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that's it for the recommended adjustments to the governor's budget. I would note, as you see on the memo, that statewide adjustments are unknown at this time. Any needed adjustments will be made in an omnibus bill at the end of session.
At this point, having a quorum, I'll open the work session on SB 5514. Before we take a motion on the LFO recommendation, I would just like to state for the record that we've had an extensive discussion of LIDAR. I think at some time people had hoped somehow that there would be $4.5 million in general funding in the budget. That was probably never going to be. The governor put a $4.5 million COP into the budget, which probably would create long-term concerns for the department in terms of debt service for it. And what our ultimate hope is to put together some package that will be agreeable to the body and the co-chairs that will allow the department to do the same thing that it did in the last biennium, to have probably some position authority and to have some dollars to go out and leverage more dollars, because I think in the last biennium, for somewhere around $170,000, the department leveraged almost $1 million in terms of... And this is kind of an interesting project in the sense it doesn't really have to be repeated. So that anything that we can do in the next biennium will be something we don't have to do in a following biennium. So with that, do we have a motion to approve the LFO recommendation?
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved. Are there any objections to the LFO recommendation?
I'll object just on the basis of the LIDAR thing. I was involved with a committee yesterday. We were talking about the O-Wing project and public safety. And they're talking about $656 million, and here we are just talking about $3 million. And I think this is on the ground immediate thing. And I mean, we have to put this thing all together and look at the whole picture. And I don't think we're doing it. So I'll just recommend. I'll put my no vote out there.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Nelson. Any other objections? If there are none, motion passes. Need a motion also on the performance measures, so if you'll go through.
Yes, Mr. Chair, you'll see at the end of the work session action report are the legislatively adopted 0709 key performance measures. On the second page of that, you'll see the LFO recommendation. I'll just read through that very quickly. LFO is recommending that you approve the agency's proposed performance measures and add number 11, the new governing boards and commissions best practices measure that was adopted by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. This agency has a governing board, and so they fall under the purview of that measure. So we're adding that number 11, and you'll be seeing that added to a number of agencies in the natural resource departments. Measure number 4 in its current state has some flaws, as was discussed by the agency during its budget presentation. However, the goal to raise public awareness on geologic hazards remains an important one for the agency, so they'd like to keep the measure. LFO is recommending that this number 4 remain at this biennium, with understanding that DOGAMI is to investigate better ways to measure success in geologic hazard awareness and propose changes for the measure in the 09-11 biennium. And if no better methodologies are developed, the agency may propose deleting the measure next biennium. LFO is also recommending approving the KPM targets, with a note that the targets for the customer service measure appear low. However, the agency has only had 1 year data and a low survey response rate. And this low response rate may have skewed the results. So LFO is recommending that the targets remain static this biennium until further surveys can be replicated. And those are the recommendations for the performance measures, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any questions? Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Representative Clem, I'm representing Felton.
Sure, unless I'm not seeing it in here, I'm reading the little line about the percent of yes responses by governing board members to the set of best practices related to this new package on governance. If we're going to see that a lot, is there any way to just get a little more information?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, absolutely. I'll get you a copy of the report, and I'll bring it in as soon as we're done here. I'll bring it in while Parks is hearing, so you can look at that more closely and what the different best practices are.
Right, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mine is more of a comment in that I would absolutely agree with the recommendation that KPM 4 be eliminated, because personally I think that is a very odd performance measure, given that I think very few people are probably aware of geological hazards and whether they have an earthquake fault under them or not. And I think it's somewhat realistic. You're not sort of the average person. Certainly I think it's a laudable goal, but first of all, to set 100% target I think is very unrealistic. And I guess, again, I'm going to say, what is the purpose? If it's certainly, if we want to make sure that our planning, folks who actually do our planning and decide where to locate buildings or roads or whatever is where. I think that would be a laudable goal, but for the general public, I guess, I just have a question about the utility of that as a performance measure. So I certainly would support eliminating it now, but certainly if we want to have it one more session, and I just think the 100% target is very unrealistic. It's more of a comment than a question.
Do we have a motion to approve the LFO recommendation?
So moved.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I direct your attention again to the memo dated February 22, 2007. On the backside, Part C, recommended changes to the appropriation bill. And these are changes needed to implement the LFO recommendations that you approved just a little while ago from the work session report. And these changes would be to insert the following changes into Senate Bill 5514. A, Section 1 General Fund would be delete line 9. This is because there's a separate appropriation line for COPs and for debt service in bills. LC may rework this section so it looks more like a normal appropriation, just one appropriation. This would be to remove the debt service for the COPs and the general fund. B, Section 2 Other Funds would be in line 11, delete $7,803,343 and insert $3,409,417. Again, this reflects removing the COPs from the budget. And C, Section 3, Federal Funds in line 17, delete $2,219,955 and insert $1,916,797, and that reflects removing the federal funds from the mined land regulation reclamation program.
Mr. Chair, I'll move those amendments.
It's been moved. Any discussion? Any objection?
I'll be a no to this on the basis of the line.
Okay. Motion passes, please. Motion passes. Please note that Senator Nelson was an objection. Now we'll go to the final subcommittee action.
Mr. Chair, just need a motion.
Okay. Do we have a motion to recommend this to the full Joint Ways and Means Committee as amended with the due pass recommendation?
So moved.
It's been moved to recommend SB 5514 to the full Joint Ways and Means Committee as amended with the due pass recommendation. Any additional discussion? Representative Klein.
Motion is to move the whole bill now, the whole
package. Yeah, the whole package.
I just would like to say in deference to the letter we got from the Coastal Caucus that I do think when we're looking at this add-back potential that if we could target some resources to the coast, mm-hmm. it certainly has different challenges than other places and erosion. I mean, we all have heard the news stories last year that I would like to see maybe a focus on that. Maybe it's less expensive that way if we're not going to end up doing even my area, you know, or the valley.
Thank you, Representative Clam. Don't tell the co-chairs, but I talked to the Coastal Caucus member on the Senate side and told them I'm only one person and that they may need to lobby the co-chairs. So if some of you House members want to talk to the Coastal Caucus on the House
chair.
On the House side.
And the calendar reflects it.
So with that, are the Senator Nelson, are you
in? I'm still in Ovo, yes.
Okay.
LIDAR.
Maybe you should carry it.
And
do you want me to carry it?
Senator Nelson, you put me in an awkward position. Noting one objection with Senator Nelson, the motion passes. And because co-chairs don't carry bills, and because I'm the only full member here, I'm carrying.
At least a full.
Do you need a house carrier?
Yes. Representative Dinkfelter, will you be the house mm-hmm. carrier? And I'll carry in the Senate as well. And with that, we will just stand at ease. Stand at ease does not mean leave for 20 minutes. I'll be right back.
has provided responses to the questions from yesterday's hearing, and I'll distribute those.
And if it wasn't official in the record, the work session has been closed on SB 5514, Geology and Mineral Industries, and I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5530, the Parks and Recreation Department. And Mr. Woods, if you could refresh where we left off for the committee yesterday.
Mr. Chair, my name is Tim Wood, Director of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and if I recall, I think someone was about to make a motion to adopt our budget.
So moved.
Mr. Chair, we were doing key performance measures, and I think we'd gotten through F, and we were going to start with G on page 2-8 in the presentation document, which is key performance measure number 7.
And what we will try to do for the time being is we will try to get through two measures at a time, and then we'll go to questions. So if you'll go ahead and start.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, page 2-8, the key performance measure 7, is a measure that we use to indicate our progress in implementing our interpretive programs and our interpretive strategy in the Parks and Recreation Department. We have a statewide program which has identified various levels of interpretation that we believe are appropriate for the kinds of resources, the types of the amounts of visitors, and also the staff that's required to support those. And we have them classified in categories of 1 through 5, with a level 5 park being the highest. So this simply measures over time our ability to implement that plan and get it in action on the ground. This kind of links back to what you asked about yesterday, Mr. Chair, about our role in helping in education, interpretation, interpretation of historic resources as well as natural resources also. Key performance measure number 8 is a measure of the number of beach and river access sites that we add to the state park system annually. Our recreation research through the statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation research plan and other documents that are conducted that reflect the research which has been conducted indicate that there's is very high demand for access to the beach. Obviously, the beach is the ocean shore recreation area in Oregon is very popular, and to be able to provide continued access to the beach for the public is very important to us and was one of the visions of the beach bill. Also, to provide access to a river for water recreation, whether it be motorized or non-motorized boating. And so this measure actually is the number of sites that we would like to add or have to add each year. So over time they are cumulative, but obviously our ability to attain this is linked to our ability to acquire property or to enter into agreements with other landowners or recreation providers to provide this access. So that's performance measure 7 and 8. If you have any questions,
on performance measure number 8, you probably in some of these cases you might acquire property. In other cases, you would acquire property right, like a public easement.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. And obviously this depends upon availability, but I do note that in 2002 is the only time that you fell short of your target, and that your target set relatively low for the future. That may be based on actual situations on the ground. I understand that, but can you give us some background why the target set lower?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's really an indication of our ability to accomplish this. Again, it's sort of based on past experience and our ability to acquire pieces of property that would provide access to the ocean, to the beach, or access to the rivers. we have a program option package on that relates to the Willamette, promoting access to the Willamette River. And, we have some ongoing initiatives in the department, this is of high priority to us, but this really reflects our ability to be able to acquire properties. And it's the projection is based on historical ability to perform there.
Mr. Chair, can I follow up with that, this
yes.
line of questioning?
Yes, Representative Dingfelter, then Representative Klein.
Thank you, because I have the same question as the Chair. I mean, I, given the increase in demand for access, I mean, I'm just a little perplexed about why we're setting the target so low. To me, I think we should be aiming for, you know, whether it's through easements, because I understand how hard it is to acquire the property, but certainly easements are, I think, another tool we can certainly use, but just seems, especially the new with the expanded Willamette River Trail, that we should really be looking at. Because if I'm understanding right, this is the whole state. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dingfelter, yes, but it measures properties that we manage, not properties that other recreation providers might, you know, bring into the system. These are properties that we bring into our system under our management.
So it wouldn't include easements that you might get from a private entity to access. In other words, like the Willamette River Trail is something that I know the State Park has been working on and promoting. And so I would think that one of the things, you know, and I haven't read through the management or what your plan is for access for that trail, but it's probably going to be private easements all along there to try to provide access. So,
Chair, Representative Dingfelter, what we would count are properties that we may not own, we may have an easement on, mm-hmm. but ones which we would have under our management, that's what we count here. A lot of the accesses on the Willamette River Water Trail, which we've been working on, are either in somebody else's jurisdiction or across, you know, other entities that allow that access. What this is intended to measure is our ability to acquire these kinds of accesses under our management.
Under permanent status, correct?
Certainly, or through a long-term management agreement of some sort.
Representative Plant.
Mr. Chair, I had two questions. I guess one is, I think, related to Representative Dingfelter's point, which is if the reason for the low number is your ability, are there things that we could do that would help your ability? I mean, is it purely a funding question? Are there programs that don't exist that could get people to do easements, working with you, that kind of thing?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, we have adopted an acquisition strategy within the department and have identified some series of properties that we would like to acquire over the next 6 years, and that acquisition plan addresses sort of a whole spectrum of needs in terms of meeting recreation need, natural area protection, historic sites, and that is statewide. In that plan, there are also some properties that would provide access to the beach or to the water. So, we're looking at a small sector, I guess, or not necessarily a small sector, but a sector of the total acquisition program that we have. So one of the things we're asking for in one of our program option packages is to increase our land acquisition program from, I think it's $7.5 million in this biennium to $11 million in the next biennium. So that will help, and that will help us be able to target some of these properties that we've already identified that we would like to acquire. We also have a program option package on the Willamette River Initiative, which also will allow us to develop some of the Willamette River properties that we already own along the Willamette River, whether they're established in the Greenway program or other Willamette River properties, which will add to this. So, I think the resources are there. The priority is there from the department standpoint. The recognition of what the real recreational need is here is there. It comes down to being able to, you know, find people who want to sell their property, you know, and allow us to provide the access.
Follow up, Representative Clinton.
This is just a total sort of ignorance question, but when you talk about, you know, even a small level situation, I'll just give you an example of the kind of thing I'm thinking of, and does this sort of thing even exist in state government anywhere, as far as you know? along the Umpqua River, there's this one trail that this a real nice lady, you know, puts a little sign up that says, feel free to use this to get down to the river. I don't think anybody has purchased an easement from her. She just does it. But is there a program for, you know, we don't necessarily buy it, but just, you know, she can get $5,000 or something like that one time to let people do that, and then if that's secured. I mean, does that exist anywhere? Is that, you know, the kind of thing?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, I don't know that it, I don't know that it, this, that situation does exist. There's no reason why it couldn't. I think the question we would ask if we were going to acquire an easement along a riverside is, you know, is it appropriate for public use? You know, can we provide access in terms of parking or whatever the sort of needs might be, sanitation needs? You know, as we look at designating places along the Willamette River Trail, which we're working on now, you know, we sort of designated put in takeouts, camping areas based on sort of segments that you could expect to float in given amounts of time, if you will. And so, you know, if it's sort of like highway rest areas, you'd like to have one about every 60 miles, you know. So that would be some of the criteria or things we'd think about as we would look to do that, yes.
Different question, Mr. Chair. I just want to
follow up, Representative Clem.
This is great. That you know, I'm glad we're measuring this because this is really important. A lot of people grew up and the river was the main recreation spot, and it's just harder and harder to get it. So it's good we're tracking it and the programs you've described. I guess my other question is, do you have any knowledge of sort of when we're working the other way? For example, I've at least heard somewhere in one of our Measure 37 committee hearings, somebody has a claim that would shut off beach. Well, they essentially believe they don't have to follow the beach bill because they own their land before it. So are there problems around Measure 37 claims where we will have a lot of river access lost, or is it already owned essentially, you know, where we do have it, so it's not really a regulation, we took it or we bought it?
Senator Devlin, Representative Clem, if we buy property from willing sellers, that's, although we do have the authority to condemn property, we haven't done it in several decades. So we acquire property from willing sellers, and so that, you know, that gives us the ability to negotiate with folks who, you know, may have reason to sell their property. I don't know that we're involved in any sort of instances now where we have a measure that might be related to Measure 37 regarding beach access or river access.
Yes.
One quick follow-up, if I may. I guess, and this is to follow up on Representative, how you responded to Representative Clem's question. I guess if we are looking at increasing acquisition over time and thinking that we may and certainly have the need for more access, I guess I just question about having this flat target out at 2009. I mean, I think part of having a target is that we don't want to set it at necessarily actual, but try to aim towards, you know, getting our actual up towards a target. So I guess I'm a little perplexed, and maybe, Susie, you can help me understand a little bit how we set a target. But when I think of a target, I think, you know, we want to set it to be not unrealistic, but something that we want to aim for. And given that we hopefully are going to be adding to acquisition, then why shouldn't that number reflect that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dinkfelder, I think there's a balance that needs to be achieved when we're looking at the targets. This committee can recommend a higher target, but you need to take into consideration the agency's ability to achieve that target. A target doesn't mean that you have to always achieve it.
Exactly.
It means that you can, you know, you can set a little bit higher target to work harder towards a higher level or a lower level, depending upon what kind of an outcome you're looking for. So we have some ability to influence that, but you want to have that dialogue with the agency so that you're not setting them up for failure, you know, with the next legislature, you know, claiming, well, why aren't you ever meeting your targets? So we have to continue to have that dialogue.
Okay. I think this is a good conversation about all the performance measures. But, you know, I think probably what Representative Dingfeld and I are both seeing is, okay, we did five, we did three, we did three, we did four, and we dropped down to two. And so is there a reason why we dropped down? Because we were achieving at a higher level than two per year, and now we're going, you know, for a while back down to below where our targets had been for the last several years and where our actuals were for the last several years. So not that it's the park's fault, but is there something where they've taken all the low-hanging fruit, and do we need to help create a new program, you know, or some additional incentives to help them get that target up if it's a priority of the legislature, I think.
I think we beat that one.
Any additional questions? Unfortunately, the chair actually has another question. This relates to this performance measure on beach and river access, more to beach access, actually. Just to put it on the record, I would assume, you know, you're obviously having this role of acquiring new access points. However, I imagine you have issues with encroachment on existing access points to some degree, or that you have issues that come up, so that in a sense you have a responsibility to monitor the access points that you already have. Would that be a fair assumption?
Mr. Chair, that is a fair assumption. I'm not aware of any sort of ongoing management issues at any particular properties other than sort of normal, you know, day-to-day kind of management. I would also point out, you know, when we're talking about acquiring beach and river accesses, in some ways it relates to the other performance measure where we talk about number of acres added toward our goal, because, I mean, we've recently purchased a piece of property on the Nehalem River, 360-some acre piece of property, so it not only adds to the acreage, but it's also a river access, provides access to the Nehalem River that wasn't there before. So there's some relationship between these measures.
Well, we will go on now then to 9 and 10.
Mr. Chair, key performance measure number 9 relates to the number of miles of new trails that are added to the state park system. This trails and walking, hiking, continue to be the number one outdoor recreation activity. And so we think that, you know, measuring the ability of the public to have access to trails and walking opportunities is very important. This measure relates specifically to trails which are added in state parks and not sort of in trail systems across the state or in trail systems of which we might be a partner to but don't actually cross state park property. And so that's probably an adjustment to this performance measure that we would like to make in the coming biennium. The way that it's measured right now is it's, you know, if we acquire a new piece of property and build trails on that new piece of property, that counts toward the goal of new trails. Or if we add new trails on existing property. If you look in 2007, the target is 20, and that's based on the fact that we are likely to have about 17 miles of new trail in the Stubbs Stewart State Park that's under construction now. So that's why there's such a great deviation there. We're able to do that at Stubbs Stewart because it's about 1,600 acres in size. Our normal acquisitions or more frequent acquisitions are in the range of probably 40 to 60 to maybe 100 acres. So, you know, there's lots of opportunity on the larger properties than there is on the smaller ones. And key performance measure 10, you know, our state park system was one of the first in the nation to champion the use of alternative recreation facilities, most specifically yurts. And so when they talk about yurts in state park and other camping systems across the nation, I mean, they really think of Oregon, and many of which are made right here at Cottage Grove. This also addresses an interesting need in sort of the changing demographics, because with more single-parent families, people who are looking for shorter duration kinds of activities, vacations as opposed to the 14-day vacation, you know, where you used to pack the family in the car and go. The trend now is, you know, 2 or 3 days, a long weekend, and do 4 or 5 of them a year as opposed to a long time. This provides an opportunity for folks to do that And also meets their desire not to have to crate along a whole bunch of camping equipment and whatever. So we attribute sort of those factors to sort of the success of this program, as well as those factors to sort of the need to grow this program. And we have set as a goal to have about 10% of our overnight individual overnight camping facilities in alternative camping facilities, and that would be yurts, generally yurts and cabins. So we are putting in approximately 15 yurts and cabins every biennium in various parks around the system. The cabins that we have now are being built by the Parks and Prisons, what we call our Parks and Prisons program. So they're being built by the Department of Corrections, prefab, and then installed installed on site.
No. Questions? Yes, I appreciate questions, don't worry.
Okay. Well, I don't want Tim to think I'm beating up on him this morning. However, and you know, this is, I'm still new at this process, so it's a learning experience for me as well. But under Key Performance Measure 9, and if the question, how is this measure used for decision making? I guess if you can help explain for me, again, I'm a little confused about the target, setting the target at 3 miles for, you know, out for the for 2009, and I guess how would you use this measure to decide where and when development of trails should occur? I don't see the linkage there. And also the second one about justifying grants and allocation of lottery funds for trail development if our target is 3 miles.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dingfelder. The length of the grants and the lottery funds for trail development, I mean, given the we apply for grants through Recreation Trails Program and other federal programs for development of trails, and so I guess it's the identification of the need for, you know, providing this kind of recreation facility at a location where, you know, it's appropriate to do that. And then making the decision whether we would commit the funds, matching funds generally with regard to grants, and the effort toward, you know, toward seeking that to help meet the need. When we identify pieces of property, we identify them to meet recreation needs, which correlate hopefully to the statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, which would identify trails needs as one of those kinds of needs, and that identifies it regionally as well. So I mean, that's kind of the link to, you know, if we acquire a piece of property, is it at a location where, you know, it would be of value, if you will, to add trails there.
Okay. Well, my comment on this is, again, I just don't know how useful this is as far as, I mean, I understand, you know, acres required, and it just doesn't seem to me like, I mean, if we're only setting 3 miles every year, and I understand with a new park you're going to have a lot more new property and ability, but again, I just question the utility of this performance measure. I mean, it just doesn't tell me that much about what, I mean, because you have miles and miles and miles of trails in your parks, and it doesn't talk about maintenance, or, I mean, I'm assuming you have a lot of maintenance needs for existing trails, and you know, how we reflect the quality of the trails that we do have in the state park. So I guess I would just question the utility of it, and it's up to the committee. You missed all that. I was just saying, I'm not sure that this performance measure actually tells us that much, actually, the way it's structured, but that's just a comment.
Representative Clem, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what that's finally dawning on me here is this one and the last one, part of the reason they don't, I think, tell me the same things that the other ones do is they're not cumulative or as a percentage of something else that we want to know. So it just says we are adding constantly. Whereas if you go back and look at, you know, the, I guess it's F, we have this total goal, so we know we're moving up in the percentage. Well, technically, we're moving up in the percentage over here probably, too. It just doesn't show it, because it shows that you're doing 3 miles, but it doesn't say 3 miles got us 1% closer to our goal. Same deal on the river access sites. Whereas, if you go back to number 5, number of property sites or districts that benefit from a heritage program, we keep showing the cumulative number increasing over time. And so these don't do that, which once you think of it that way, you know, it makes sense, but you're right. It doesn't show you against anything in particular. It just shows we are adding, which is a good goal. It just doesn't show what our overall goal is going to be. Once we get there, we're done, or once we get to a certain ratio per population, we're done. That was not a question, was it?
No. We're just, I guess the
it's a fine question to ask. Is that being tracked anywhere? Is that an issue for the agency?
Mr. Chair, Senator Avakian, you mean sort of an overall goal or a total number of miles of trail? Is that your question?
Yeah, we're just reflecting Representative Clem's comment at some, or is this just something you evaluate year to year and someday you'll achieve the appropriate amount of trail?
Senator Vopkin, I think one of the questions might be, having built a few trails, you have all different levels of trails in terms of probably their condition. I don't know how many total even miles of trails you even have at Silver Falls, but if you looked beyond the ones that the people normally do, it's pretty extensive. But I do believe you probably have that data available, and you might even have something relative to the levels of different trails and maybe even the condition, because I assume that with this adding trails that you're constantly having issues with maintaining them, because they don't just stay there.
Right, Mr. Chair. We don't have an overall, like we have acres per thousand population on the land acquisition side, state park acreage side. We don't have such a measure. I don't know if one exists sort of nationally. That could be something that we could look at, whether it's, you know, miles of trail per some unit of population or something like that. That could be something we could investigate. I don't know that such a thing exists, but we could certainly investigate that. It might be, you know, but I don't know that there's a way that we could say, you know, we need 432 miles of trail. You know, it's kind of
my question, Mr. Chair, did not have in it implicitly that you should. I'm fine with the performance measure, and I'm fine with you monitoring it any way you think you need to monitor it. So I wouldn't want the agency to be wasting its time with that.
Representative Dingfelter, I think it was
just
before.
Well, just a quick follow-up is, it occurred to me, do we have a goal, or do you guys have a goal for trails that are ADA, that are accessible, you know, for meet ADA requirements? Because that is a concern that I have. You know, whenever I visit a state park, I have several friends who are in wheelchairs, and, you know, they're able to visit some of our state parks, and they're not able to visit some. And I'm just curious if you have a goal, or embedded somewhere in your plan, you have a goal for ADA accessibility.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ingfelder, it's not specific to this goal. However, we do have a goal to meet the ADA standards. There's a lot of, in terms of slope, surface, all those kinds of things, there are obviously some trails can't be built to meet those standards. When that's the case, we try to build sections of trails that at least are accessible and meet those standards.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'm done, but I'm not representing.
Yes, Representative Clement.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Chair. I think if I had just read the management objective a little closely, it says there's already a goal outlined in the Oregon Trails Plan, namely providing increased and varied trail opportunities for visitors. So then as we add three on each time, we are meeting a goal that's already part of a plan that's already been established. So that probably takes care of our concerns. I mean, at some point, a constituent will call me and say, the trails are too crowded, and then we'll say, oh, well, maybe we need more trails. But until then, we have a goal to provide increased and we're doing that. And that's probably the point of this whole thing, isn't it? I'll just read my notebook a little better maybe before I come to the meetings.
It's no time.
I am very glad, Mr. Chair, that we got this crisis resolved with regard to the amount of trails within the state. And time well spent.
Okay, we will go on. Just so that the committee knows where we're going and so Mr. Woods knows where we're going, we will go through the remaining performance measures, and then we will do something a little bit out of the ordinary. If you're prepared, we'll discuss sort of the continuous improvement portion of this. That's because when we get through the public hearing on Monday, I want the committee to look at the policy option packages together so that we're not dividing it by, you know, days between our considerations, so that they get an idea of how they all fit together. So if you please go on to the next two performance measures.
I think next is 11. Has to do with measuring the percent reduction in facilities backlog. In 1989, when ballot measure 66 began providing dedicated lottery funding to the department, one of the significant contributions that it was to make was to help us build down the backlog of repair and maintenance in the system. We had approximately $120 million worth of backlog documented in 1998, and our goal is to bring that to zero by 2014. And today, we are at the end of this biennium at approximately $43 million. We'll have the backlog reduced from 120 to about $43 million by the end of this biennium. So we're on track to do that. That we think is very important promise that basically was made through the ballot measure and how that money would be used. And we use this performance measure to track how well we're doing that and to make decisions about funding levels, if we need to provide more funding to get us there. That's what this performance measure is used for. Performance measure number 12 is a new one. It is a measure of customer satisfaction, and it's really part of an overall sensing of part of an overall effort, if you will, to get the sensing of customer satisfaction. This is a phone survey that we do with campers, whereas our previous performance measure was Oregonians in general, not necessarily state park users. This would be folks who have experienced camping in Oregon State Parks, and it's an automated phone survey that when you make a reservation, then you're given the opportunity to answer five or six questions, and we use that to gather feedback about their experience in the reservation process as well as their experience in the parks and so forth. So this is a new system that we've only had in place for several months, but it seems to be working pretty well.
On the deferred maintenance, Ms. Woods, do you have some type of idea, given your facilities, of, you know, once you get through the backlog, deferred maintenance is something that doesn't just go away, of what your experience might be after that in terms of maintaining systems? And
Mr. Chair, we do. In fact, we have a program option package that's related to that. And one of the things that we want to do is create, we already have created some sinking funds within the department, which are basically depreciation funds, where we use that money to go back into sort of routine preventive maintenance and repair. What we are asking in one of our program option packages is to increase that funding to a substantial level, and we would likely come back in subsequent biennia and ask to increase that some more so we could create a sinking fund that we would use to augment our operations funds to ensure that we're doing the preventive maintenance necessary to keep a backlog from occurring in the future. And we've developed what we call our hub system, which is an internal management system that we use to manage schedule, manage, and track our preventive maintenance needs. So that's, yes, we're looking at that, and that's very important. We don't want to get in 2020 in a situation where we were in 1998 because we hadn't been able to invest the resources to maintain the infrastructure that we had. So we do have a plan in place, and like I said, we'll talk more detail if you like when we get to that program option package of how that might work.
Why don't we go on to the final two?
Measure 13, 13 and 14 are both new measures that were created for the Oregon State Fair. Again, the Oregon State Fair operation is really kind of two operations. It's the two-week annual state fair, and then it's about 50 weeks of the other 50 weeks of the year where we, you know, we're basically in the facilities rental business. We sell space for exposition kinds of events. And these two measures are intended to go hand-in-hand with our business plan and help us measure how successful we are under Measure 13 at increasing and repeating fair attendance during the 2 weeks of the fair. And then the Measure 14 is it's really a measure of profitability. How well are we doing at renting facilities, at least at increasing the use of the facilities that we have at the fairground during non-fair time, and doing so in a way that's at least break even, or better yet, in a profit making mode. And that's I think previously the fair had a measure of the number of events that were sponsored. We didn't really think that was appropriate because we weren't necessarily making any money or covering our costs on many of those events. So we think it's important that we link it to income and costs related to those kinds of activities. So that's what those two measures are related to the Oregon State Fair.
Question, Madam Chair.
Senator Vakin.
On 14,
mm-hmm.
Are the percentages relative to the preceding year or to some other baseline? For instance, 2009, is that a 67% increase from the 2008?
Madam Chair, Senator Vakin, no, that's cumulative.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it appeared quite ambitious.
It may be at that.
It might be. Okay.
Thank you, Senator, because I have the same question. Any other questions about key performance measures 13 or 14? And last one.
We have one more. That's measure 15, and that's the performance measure that was adopted by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee that applies to any organization that has sort of a governing commission or board. And, our goal here is obviously to comply with the best practices that are outlined in that document.
Okay.
Any questions on that? Okay. So now we're going to move on to, and it was one of the policy option packages, is that right, Susie?
It was the efficiencies.
Okay. Tab 5.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm going to ask our System Director, Jan Dean, to make the presentation on the efficiencies here. Jan is the Assistant Director for Administration. She oversees our business operations functions principally in the department. So, Jan.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Jan Dean. I'm the Assistant Director for Administration for the Parks and Recreation Department. And Section 5 highlights some of the primary efficiencies that we expect in the next biennium. Starting with the State Fair and Exposition Center, the development of a business plan for the operation of the State Fair and Expo Center is the product of more than a year of talking to fair patrons, interest groups, and citizens. Regional workshops were held at 8 communities across Oregon, and key strategies include aesthetic improvements for the grounds and buildings, financial strategies to contain costs and increase revenues, and the building of sponsorships, partnerships, and strategic alliances. We also anticipate improving the productivity of staff through both training and personal development plans. And I think you have a copy was given to you earlier this morning of the State Fair's business plan. On the next page, the first phase of our hub is being implemented right now, and you've heard us refer to that a couple times. It is a data system that tracks preventive maintenance, capital assets, and other information related to park properties. It will contain, in the coming biennium, historical information on land acquisition and facilities. It will help us schedule preventive maintenance and track projects. Our next steps will also include, though, the archaeological information, and our permit process will be online, and our contract process and volunteer database will also go online. For online public outreach, we expect to expand services that are available online, including selling day use and ATV permits through e-commerce. That should be up this summer. We're going to expand our online reservations to include yurts and cabins. And if package 111 is approved, we will use wireless handheld devices to check check in our campers, and also to connect to the hub system that I just mentioned. The next one, accessible historic site information. We have, as you can imagine, an amazing amount of information in primarily files stored in central office. But the historic sites database will be online later this year, and work is continuing on scanning all of those documents and forms and file information to make even more available to the public at an easier linkage rather than coming into our office. This current biennium, we initiated a all-manager planning conference that we anticipate holding annually. We will continue work on business plans that were written and goals that were set during that conference. Our progress will be discussed. We have quarterly performance meetings where we bring in all managers and discuss, frankly, key performance measure and other things. The business plans will be reviewed and our progress discussed at those meetings as well. And we do expect to repeat that cycle each year. So the fall of 2007 and 2008, we will continue to build on the progress, see how we're doing, what changes need to be made, but continue that annual planning. We contracted with an independent firm to analyze our risks. And the initial intent was this contract would have been very high level. They were referring to it as an inch deep and a mile wide. But and it was intended to help us prioritize the risks and then take those risks and schedule audits, deeper audits around those risks. But when we realized the power, frankly, of the risk maps that we were getting, we drilled down even deeper to create a control document. As an example, in the contracts area, one of the areas I'm responsible for, we didn't just review for compliance, which is what the original intent was. We began to look at our policies, our procedures, desk manuals, work instructions to identify where we needed to improve. So our next steps with this risk mitigation will be to prioritize the risks that we have identified in each of our divisions, and to develop a strategy to involve our managers at all levels of the organization in mitigating these risks. And then, again, our progress on these risks will be reported and discussed at our quarterly performance meetings.
Senator Vakian has a question.
I don't know what a risk would. Could you define risk for me as it's used in this?
Madam Chair, Senator Vakian, each program area we looked at any situation that would either cause compliance issues, would hinder our ability to meet goals towards Target 2014 or our investment strategy, you know, those kinds of things. Those risks were then looked at as both the likelihood of that occurring and the consequences if, in fact, it did occur. So we had grids for each of these areas on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 not being much of an impact or very likely to occur, and 5 being the worst possible scenario. And so they were all mapped to identify not only the risk, but frankly help us prioritize the significance of those risks.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Do you have any comments on that?
I do not.
I guess I have a question. Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you for all the good work in the committee, work your commission does. And seems to me you got this really good running operation, and in the last session the legislature foisted the state fairs upon you guys, somewhat out of your realm of expertise, maybe because you had some money there. And so what I'm concerned about with this whole agency and this efficiency and the business plan that you've got presented here is, what's the real story behind this? I mean, this may not be a success. This may be a real drag or a real drain on some of your major 66 money that's going to be to the detriment of really what your actual purpose is. And maybe you don't want to put anything on the record and comment on that, but to me it's a real concern. So, do you have any comment?
You're talking about the
fair. Yeah, fair.
Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, that's a real good question. And I think, given the funding level that we're enjoying, if you will, as a result of the lottery, being able to sort of absorb that with it, the state fair and that obligation within the department is certainly doable. What I'm concerned about is when we get to the year 2014, whether or not we have lottery funding that's continued or some dedicated source of funding continued, that between now and then we haven't added so many amenities, if you will, or expectations to what the mission of this department sort of has been traditionally and probably should have been with regard to what its statutory responsibilities are, was never able quite to meet because of resources. That when we get to that point that there aren't so many things that are distractions to us accomplishing what our core statutory mission is. And, whether that's, adding some other entity to manage to the department. I mean, we really have added staff only to support new programs. And I'm convinced on a daily basis, probably every agency head in the state is, we don't have enough to start with, so, we're just sort of keeping up. But we've grown considerably. I mean, this agency, not just in terms of dollars, but in terms of responsibilities. And, I think it's welcomed. But I think we also need to be conscious about the decisions we're making, because at some point there's going to have to be a set of policy decisions made if the Measure 66 funding goes away. And, things which have been traditional part of the department, I would assume would continue, but then there'll be other decisions to make about, sort of add-ons, if you will, that have occurred in the interim.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chair, my concern is that the State Fair is really a fine institution. It's a wonderful thing. Is it ever going to be a viable operation? Or is it always going to be a constant drain, whether it's parks taking it over, or is it something maybe the taxpayers, we should be doing this out of the general fund? I mean, this is such an important thing for us. I'm not so sure that using the Measure 66 money is really the best place to be spent at the state, for the state fair. And I don't expect you to answer that. That's just my concern.
Senator Nelson, Mr. Woods has heard that concern. In fact, when we started this discussion the other day, when there were only four people here, with the exception of Representative Clem, who identified himself as a Salem representative, and who obviously was not here. Mr. Woods realized he had three people that voted against paying for state parks with Measure 66 funds. He also said that it wasn't his particular measure. If I'm not. So,
we share your concerns.
I just thought we had to have that record. I mean, that's what we're here for as a committee, to say, okay, is this the best policy? Where are we supposed to be with these things? And I sort of see a trend line with our last vote. I voted no on that one vote just because I just don't see that we're doing any really coordinated stuff as the committee. And that's my job, is to ask those questions. And I don't want anybody to take it personally, but that's what they're paying me these big dollars for. So.
Mr. Chair, he did actually give a pretty good answer that time. He said, we'll know in 5 years. I mean, this is a plan, and we'll know. And at that point,
And I think also in that members' committee, is and part of our discussion yesterday was that you're within several million dollars of breaking even on operating. But the whole decision to make the large investments in the state fair were made long before the decision to
to use Measure 66 funds to supplement it. So we took on that obligation, and that was pretty broadly supported in this building. And the debt service is the state's. It's not, you can't say that it's a state fair's responsibility. The debt service is the state's, and we entered into the debt. So, Mr. Woods, you might want to comment. You look anxious.
Pass my budget.
I think I had this conversation 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
We're at a point now. We've only got about 15 minutes left. Do you think you could go through the 2% savings with, if I give you a couple minutes to...
Mr. Chair, certainly. So, Section 7. This is sort of a good segue to Senator Nelson's question here. We have presented two alternatives here to the 2% savings request that was made that we bring forward. But I wanted to sort of introduce the 2% savings by sort of giving a little tutorial, if you will, of how we use funds in the department. And so that graphic at the bottom of page 7.1 shows that, you know, out to about 1980, when the department came off of gas tax, we basically have a sort of a basic funding level for our mission support that has been funded by park user fees, RV registration, federal grants, and so forth. And then there was a portion of our budget in that period of time that was supplemented by general fund. What we have tried to do after we got the lottery funds was we basically supplemented that general fund portion with lottery money. That goes into our operational programs. And then we were able to add some additional programs like facility investment, the acquisition program, and the grants program. That basically is, you know, comes above the line there, if above that dotted line there, if you will. So, as I showed you in our budget yesterday, you know, we use park user fees primarily as a, and it's for its first purpose is to pay back for the cost of services that campers and day users have, you know, incurred in the parks themselves, and that's why we put that money in operation. And we've sort of supplemented other programs with lottery money. So the guidance we had here based on our essential budget level was to provide 2% savings at the level of $3.47 million. And alternative one on page 7.2 achieves that by, you know, by breaking out $1.44 million in lottery and $2.02 million in other funds. The issue that, or I guess the concern I would have about adopting this alternative strictly in accordance with the instructions is that it really does take the other funds away from sort of the basic use that we have used other funds for. Park user fees now, the programs that are impacted by mostly by the reduction of other funds are park user kinds of programs. So an alternative two, we provided some 2% saving alternatives, which would shift that burden to lottery, which is more discretionary money, and shift it to more discretionary programs, and could provide you some the discretion that I think you're looking for in potentially redirecting the savings into other departmental programs without having any significant impact on sort of our funding structure. Again, the issue is if we get to 2014, our funding stream, our dedicated funding stream goes away, we would like to be able to continue to operate our parks based on the fees that we generate from the parks. So we've provided two alternatives here.
Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if this relates directly to savings, but it relates to what, you know, the picture you just painted. And the question I had is, and we had this discussion last session about the huge backlog that the agency, that the department had. And the concern that I have is that if we look at diverting, the, I mean, we've been able to, and we are able to deal with that backlog due to lottery funds. That's correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dingfelder, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. So if we, the concern that I have is the more that we eke away at the lottery funds, we either have to figure out how to get the operating maintenance back into your basic mission budget, which in my mind should be, because that's part of the keeping the integrity of the park system. I mean, or we have to figure out how to replace it. I mean, that's the only concern about the maintenance backlog repairs, is that that's going to go away eventually, but as we acquire new property, and we've had this discussion before, you're still going to have a continual maintenance budget. So the question is, how do we balance that without, you know, directing too much of that money elsewhere, that it's going to impact keeping, you know, our parks in good condition, basically.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dinkfelder, what this alternative does is basically reduces the funding in some of the program option packages, mm-hmm. and the funding for our facility investment program, our facility investment program, is maintained. So it isn't impacted by this. This provides some discretion in the amounts, perhaps, of lottery money that you might allocate if you adopted all of our program option packages.
Just a follow-up, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm trying to figure out, is there any way, I mean, just because we're not sure we're going to have lottery money, you know, forever, and is there any way that we can figure out how, though, to eventually incorporate the maintenance portion or the backlog, you know, make sure that that is included in the basic mission budget, so we don't get into that situation of having a backlog again.
Right. Mr. Chair, Representative Dinkfelder, again, we have a program option package that I mentioned will establish a preventive maintenance sinking fund, and that would become a part of our base budget, so that we build that into our base budget so that it's there after 2014, whether or not there's lottery funding. It will require some significant investment over the next couple biennia, but we want to start that in this biennium.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Representative Dinkfelder, I would want to make sure, though, that we don't give an impression that we are thinking that funding is going to disappear for state parks in 2014 from lottery, or we might try to create our own self-fulfilling prophecy.
No, I certainly agree with you, Mr. Chair, on that, but you know, we can't always assume that that's going to be part of the funding stream
yeah.
forever.
Well, Representative Felder, my guess is that trying to look at the options the legislature will have before them, the only one that appears viable is to potentially refer back the measure that they are required to refer back, and to refer back an alternative. So I think that will be probably the discussion, because they do have to refer back the basic measure that the vote so.
Mr. Chair and Representative Dinkfelder, even if in 2014 voters didn't approve the continuation of dedicated lottery funds, that would mean that there would be that amount of money available in the general lottery fund pot that could also be used then to fund parks programs. So the money doesn't go away.
No,
it's still there.
I hope I'm not on Ways and Means, though, and that will be the biggest free-for-all. Yeah. Well, I think Mr. Woods answered the question, though, with a sinking fund. I mean, that sounds like that's what you're trying to do, and redirect that funds in there. So we don't get, I mean, the whole thing is not to get in that situation again with that huge backlog. Anyway,
any additional? Do you have anything to add on that final portion of your presentation there?
Chair, no, I don't believe so. Some of this might become more clear as we begin to talk program option packages.
Okay. Monday morning, I do not really know what to anticipate in terms of public testimony. My guess is we should plan for probably around 10 people. So hopefully everybody can be here at 8:30 on Monday. I know you will, Mr. Woods, and your staff, and I know that the BAM analyst will be here. I feel sorry. Every time a BAM analyst comes in, I feel sorry for them, because they sit through these long meetings and they never say a word. And we had a long, long meeting up at Portland State for the education sub yesterday, and the BAM analyst sat in the back and never said a word during the entire period of time. So, but once we get through that, then we will go into the policy option packages. And I would like actually for the committee to take some time and look at those this weekend, because I think our discussion there is going to be, I hope it's going to be relatively focused. Because this is, we're starting into those budgets where I need to get a real feel from the committee where they are, because there's more choices in the budgets that we're starting into than the budgets that we've done. And so where the committee has issues or where they have priorities, I need to hear it, because the co-chairs need to hear it. And so I really need you to concentrate on looking at those policy option packages.
Mr. Chair, yeah. I just have one comment. All these budgets we're going through is they're not really the final budgets, because any of the agencies that have costs with the Department of Justice, we have not decided upon whether we're going to pay them $111 an hour or $128 an hour. So any of the budgets that we do are not final budgets. And I would like to see us, let's decide, are we going to pay them $128 an hour? Then we can actually do our jobs. I mean, what we're doing now is that...
Well, I think there's obviously going to be a lot of adjustments, and that's just something that's inevitable, that there's an adjustment for the Department of Justice. I do not know if all DASH charges have been decided at this point. I doubt it, to be honest. And also, there will be a certain amount set aside also, I believe, this premium for settlement of collective bargaining agreements and other issues. And those adjustments probably won't be made until sometime probably in February, would be my guess. Or maybe before we leave here. In terms of actual allocation.
Well, there, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, historically we've had an amount of money set aside in the emergency fund, which will still be a part of the co-chair's budget,
right,
for compensation, right, at least on the general fund. There is an adjustment that's made midway through the biennium to all the agency budgets, including the other funds and moderate funds, for the actual negotiated contracts,
right,
which may occur around that period of time. Might,
yeah,
be later.
Our difficulty now is that we're not currently planning on e-board meetings between the end of session. It doesn't mean they can't occur in the special session.
Correct.
And so, and I think we're planning to do 2 to 3 meetings of e-board in the February session is the current discussion I'm hearing, because we're delaying. Anyway, but we will
still be discussed.
We will see you all on Monday, and you're still on schedule. We'll get through the budget, and hopefully this is a budget where we can get some agreement with all the parties within the month of March.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I just wanted to again acknowledge the Commission Chair. As a former one myself, I just I know you've now got a bunch of new things you're going to be judged by as well, for free, for all your work here in our performance measure. So I just wanted to acknowledge him again. Thank you.